And grace, mercy, and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's sermon is going to be on the second lesson that you heard today from 1 John chapter 4. As I mentioned in the children's message, Easter is not a day, but it's a season, and we continue to be in the season of Easter. And I'm not sure how many of you might have thought, but I'm sure some people thought that 1 John chapter 4 doesn't sound very Easter-y, does it? Easter is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about victory. It's about celebration. Easter is perky and upbeat. And 1 John 4 starts out a little polemical. And we might think, that didn't sound very Easter-y. And I think it is totally Easter-y. And here's why. In the church, we are asserting something to be true. Do you hear me? When we say that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose, we mean in a literal, historical, and verifiable way that he rose on Easter Sunday morning, and we are saying that as a truth. We are not saying that as we hope so. We are not saying that as wishful thinking. We're saying that this is true as distinct from it being untrue. And that is what John is talking about in 1 John chapter 4. Now, if you look at your bulletin, the second lesson is printed there. It's all on the same page, very handy. It is in three paragraphs, and those three paragraphs are actually a wonderful outline for a way to look at what John is saying. As I recall, one of my seminary professors used to say, you could do worse than using the outline of the text. So I want us to look at it. There's three paragraphs. There's three topics. And here they are. The first paragraph is exercise discernment. Church, do you hear me? Exercise discernment. The second paragraph we could call hang in there. And the third paragraph is love each other. It's funny how John jumbles stuff together. He's all over the place, but I want to look at these things. First section is this: exercise discernment. Hear these words. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Test the spirits. And by the way, when he says spirit, he means teachers. He doesn't mean something weird and vague. He's talking about the spirit of the teacher themselves. What is the nature and the character of what is being taught? And you have to listen. You have to meditate upon. You have to consider what's being said. And is this content true or not? Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, I want us to notice something particular, just the first two words. To whom is this text addressed? Dear friends. Now, there are parts of the Bible where Paul says, am I writing a letter to the Galatians? There's parts of the Bible where he says, I'm writing a letter to a man named Timothy. But when Paul says, dear friends, to whom is he speaking? All of us, the church. Now, all those other letters are to be read by the church. We get to listen in on what Paul said to Timothy, of course. But he is at some level talking to Timothy. This says, dear friends, people of God, discern. Discern. The message of this text is that every believer gathered here this morning is yourself to discern, is what I'm hearing true or not? And one of the possibilities is not. Now, why is it necessary? He answers it in the text. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You hear it? Many false prophets, many false teachers have gone out into the world and said things that are untrue. Now, here's a little bit of history you should know. Your Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again in AD 30. Remember that number, AD 30. This book was written in roughly AD 85 or AD 90. How many years is it from AD 30 to AD 90? 60 years have passed. In Jerusalem, Jesus died, and in Jerusalem, people saw him alive, and the church proclaimed Christ risen from the dead. And in 60 years, people have gone out and started to say false things. Now, let me ask you this. These days, right now, do we have more or fewer false teachers?
More.
I hear the word more come back. If there was a need in 1 John chapter 4 for the church to be discerning in 2024, there's a need of the church to what? To be discerning. John gives us the test. Isn't it nice? You need to discern the spirits. You need to test the spirits whether they've come from God or not. And the test is this. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but if it doesn't, it isn't. That's the test. And I want us to know something. Whenever the Bible says something like that, when it says it that briefly, it's always using a shorthand. He's not giving you the whole body of Christian doctrine. He's saying the test of right teaching is what do they say about Jesus? Now, John wrote 1 John, but John wrote some other books. And when he says here the test is the right teachers acknowledge that Christ has come in the flesh, he's referencing all the other things he has said about this Jesus. And John has written 1 John, but he's also written 2 John. And he's also written 3 John, and he's also written the Revelation to John. And he's also written a gospel, which is called John. I want you to hear some things from this man's pen. John 1:1, first verse he ever wrote. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. The fancy term for that is we would say that John has a high Christology. John is saying that Jesus is not a great teacher. Jesus is not a great moral theologian. Jesus is God. Don't settle for less. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This God took on our human self. John 8:58, Jesus speaking, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus, who takes the Old Testament designation of Jehovah God and says that's him. That's a high Christology. John 10:30, Jesus speaking again, I and the Father are one. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, says Jesus. John chapter 21, I'm not going to read two chapters, but those two chapters about the resurrection of Jesus, its historicity and its reality. The other disciples talk about the resurrection in much briefer verses. John says two chapters, I saw Christ alive from the dead. And I want to come to 1 John. This morning we're in 1 John 4. I want to go to 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, that sounds a lot like John 1:1. But that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, I believe that which is true. I saw it. I heard it. I touched him. I saw it myself. John is saying, that's a high Christology. And he says, that is the test. What do they say about Jesus? Now, he goes right from that to this part. Hang in there. Hang in there. John says, dear children, you are from God and have overcome them. Now, notice it's past tense, right? You have overcome them. What's he talking about? Your victory that's past tense. He's saying you've overcome them in Christ, in the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, you've overcome. And the reason he's reminding you of that reality is he's saying, believers, it's going to often seem quite different from that. In this world, we are sometimes going to say, it feels like the world always advances. It feels like the cultural movement is against us, and John is saying, not so. We live in crazy times. We do. We are aware of it. There are things that are preposterous and unbelievable that are spoken as truth in the world around us. Things that are actually literally insane are said as if they're true. And we don't and won't buy it. We also don't and won't buy that they're winning. Because this passage says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Isn't that a great verse? He says, whatever it feels like, in Christ, you're victorious. Now he's going to add, don't be surprised, the people of the world talk like people of the world, and the other people of the world listen to that. The reason he mentions it is he's saying, don't be surprised by it. Just know that some listen to the world and some listen to the truth, and that's how you know the difference between his text here, the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Third paragraph. Love each other. That's nice. We've been polemical so far. I know that. Love each other. Church, love each other. He's saying discernment. He's talked about the difference between truth and error. He's talking about the battle of ideas. He's talking about the clash of big thoughts. We say, whoa, this is a heavy text. It's great that he goes from the clash of ideas to love one another. That's the job of the church. Love comes from God. By the way, he says there's a sequence. It's not as though we loved God first. It's God loved us. And then we love each other. How do we know God loved us? Dear friends, God loved us. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. That's a fact you can hang your hat on. But I want us to know this. He's been talking about truth and error, and what he's going to say is, if there is such a thing as truth and error, if you are a Christ follower, not everybody's going to embrace that. Right? Not everyone's going to endorse your faith. What he's saying is that you're going to find love where? In here. Love one another. Church, love each other. Now, I don't mean to brag on you at all, but I'm gonna a little bit. I want to say this. I think this church is a very loving and welcoming congregation. And on this basis, first thing is I know this congregation cares about the truth. And I'm glad of it. I love that about you. But the other thing is I think this congregation has mastered the idea that none of us is perfect, so the next person to walk in here is welcome. Right? I know this because I often say to you, how many of us are sinners? And you say, all of us. And I say, for how many of your sins has Christ died? And you say, all of them. See how that flows together? All of us are sinners, so everybody else is just as welcome. Now, I want to notice something. I'll end with this. This is one of my favorite things about this church. On Sunday mornings or on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday night, I teach a Bible class, and you gather in the fellowship hall. And right before class, what is everybody doing? They're talking and visiting with each other. That's wonderful. That part I love. Before class, everybody's talking and visiting. But then I go and I stand at the front of the room, looking like I'm about to start. And what do? You keep talking. And then I strap on my microphone and I say, test, test, test. And what do? You keep talking. I've learned to not be annoyed, but to embrace this. It is wonderful that you love one another, and eventually you do let me teach. When you're ready. But I want us to notice the wisdom of what John is saying. John is saying, love each other, and that will enable you to hang in there. And hanging in there to hold on to the truth. That's what he's saying. And to serve this risen Jesus. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.